The year is 1877. The Dakota Territory is a grim and desolate place. But in the small town of Sweet Ravine, law and order rules. The keeper of that peace is the most feared gunslinger west of the Mississippi. Hold on to those 10-gallon hats as we present the adventures of Sheriff Rawhide Law. It has been remarked before that experience is the best teacher, and also the hardest. To get the examination before anyone can study makes it just about impossible to succeed. However, it is possible to survive, and survivors are blessed with scars we call experience. Of course, it is not always necessary to gain these scars ourselves. When others tell the story of how their scars came to be, we can learn from their experience and thus gain their knowledge without so much pain. This, however, is not a perfect system. Not only do we often fail to learn from mistakes of others, but scars aren't known for their beauty. Some people will go out of their way to hide their scars, so learning from experience also becomes a matter of paying attention.
Do you think this is moving too quickly?
Trust me, Kitty, I can get this done in a day. We have all the fabric and trim. Just because I'm sewing fast doesn't mean I'm making mistakes.
No, not the dress. That's already perfect and you haven't even finished.
You are sweet. But take it from a professional seamstress. This dress needs a lot of expert work. Luckily for you, I am an expert and you have my undivided attention.
Nobody's questioning your seamstress skills, Jessie. You did hear her use the word perfect, yes?
Well, she should look perfect when she tells the town she's marrying my brother.
If you say so. I mean, most of the town saw him ask her to marry him, and since they commenced to smooching right then and there, I'm not sure anyone's in doubt about the whole thing. Still, if a formal engagement is how they do things in polite society, I suppose you better look the part of a polite society girl, Pipsqueak.
Tomorrow.
What's that?
Officially, I become a financee.
Fiancé.
Yeah, that. I become one of those tomorrow. It just seems sudden. Don't get me wrong, Jessie. I want to marry your brother. I do. He is a good man. But do you think we're going too fast?
I don't if you don't. If you do, then I do.
That, Pipsqueak, is the difference between being supportive and being helpful. Jessie is being supportive and letting you know that if you feel you want to slow down, she'll slow down with you, and anybody who has a problem with it is like enough to have a fat lip. It's a sign of a good friend. But since you're not all that sure what it is you want, it is not especially helpful to you.
What do you think, sir? Am I rushing into this engagement too soon?
You do know I had met my husband for less than an hour before we were married, yes? That piece of gossip has, I assume, reached you. I may not be the best person to answer this for you.
Though I might point out that you and Caleb are probably the happiest couple in Sweet Ravine, so fast isn't necessarily bad. Like Alex says, though, I can only support you in whatever decision you make. I can't really help you make it.
Pipsqueak, I am going to do something I am generally loath to do, which is to interject my opinion into someone else's romantic affairs. Please take this as a sign of our friendship, which it truly is. Would you be so kind as to raise your left arm above your head?
I can't, sir. Silas says soon, but right now I might tear out the stitches and that...
Ah, yes. You were recently shot, weren't you? Tends to remind a person of their mortality. Sometimes there just ain't a lot of reason to hold off on living the life you want to lead. I'm honestly a little surprised you're just announcing an engagement instead of rushing off to get yourselves in front of Reverend Michaels to finalize the matter.
Oh, we thought about it, but, well, hasty decisions haven't necessarily worked out for me.
All right, then. There's some fun to be had when you're a courting couple. At least so I'm told. But in terms of the butterflies you've got in your belly over an engagement tomorrow, you need to remember one thing. There is always going to come a day when you are going to get engaged tomorrow. When you are getting married tomorrow. If it's the tomorrow part that has you a bit shaky, remember, tomorrow's always going to be coming, and you can't stop it. Not, that is, until the day it ain't coming no more.
Kitty, you're not planning to marry Silas in a cemetery, are you?
No.
Oh, good. From the mood here, I was a little unsure.
I sincerely beg your pardon, ladies. I truly do not wish to disturb you, but I was looking for Sheriff Rawhide Law.
You have found her, stranger. What can I do for you?
I'm passing through your town today. Going to bunk up here for the night and head out in the morning. Just came by to drop off my gun while I'm here.
All right. This is definitely a new one on me. I've had occasion to put up signs saying all visitors need to turn in their firearms upon entering the town limits, but it has been some time since those signs went down. Even when they were up, I can count on one hand the number of people who volunteered to drop their weapons off instead of making me chase them down. Can you clarify your interest in dropping off your firearms with me when absolutely no one has asked you to do so?
My name is Tyrone O'Reilly.
Jesse? Kitty? Excuse me for a little bit, if you will. I need to walk this man to the sheriff's office and write him out a receipt for his weapon.
This is a bit of an awkward question, Caleb.
You do realize how alarming that statement is given that you're a doctor, yes?
Is it?
A lot of the questions I would normally consider awkward are off the table, given your profession.
I wonder if I'm being too rash.
You're 18 years old, so I believe that's a safe bet.
Well, I mean specifically...
Dr. Malone, there are times when a good gambler knows how a man is going to bet before his cards are even dealt. I don't need to wait for the question to tell you the answer, but you don't even need that. You're asking the question of a man who barely knew the woman he married, which means you're only interested in getting one answer. So let's just skip the whole mess and accept how it would have played out.
Well, now I have some follow-up questions.
No, it is not necessarily bad that you came to me knowing what my answer would be. I suspect you know what you want, and there's no reason I can think of why you should let anybody talk you out of it. So why not ask the fellow who's not gonna?
So, do you think...
Doc, instead of me, why don't you ask yourself a question? What do you want to do? And if the answer is the thing that you're doing anyway, it seems to me it doesn't matter what I think, or that anybody else thinks. Well, except for one person, but she already said yes, as I recall.
You know, it would have been faster just to tell me you thought I was doing the right thing.
Shows you haven't been paying much attention, Dr. Malone.
Oh, like the fact that I didn't realize you were eavesdropping.
You want a private conversation? You should consider a table. You're at my bar, anything you say is within earshot, and you'll find a good bartender is supposed to listen to people.
I guess that's fair, but I had to come to the bar. Caleb wasn't sitting at a table.
Which you were not paying attention to. Caleb was standing at the bar, leafing through one of those law books he's studying. Can you think of a reason why a man would be standing and reading? It was to discourage you from coming to talk to him.
How did he know I would be?
Caleb, he reads people a mite better than he does those law books.
Setting aside the fact that that's true, when did I become the target here?
When folks started coming to you for advice instead of the local bartender. It's part of the job description.
I'm lost. Why didn't you want to talk to me, Caleb?
Because I don't like giving out advice. At least not long term. What card to play, or whether or not you should fold, sure. But I don't care much for telling young people how to live their life. I made a lot of mistakes when I was your age. Half of me thinks I'm not qualified to offer advice on how to miss a mistake or two, and half of me wonders what a horrible person I'd have wound up being if I hadn't made those mistakes. So I drag my answers out to stop you from asking me any more.
that, and if you take his advice, then he feels responsible if anything goes wrong.
You know, sometimes your being a good bartender is less of a benefit and more of a pain in my...
Hey there, strangers. Nice to see you. Welcome to Sweet Ravine.
It's all right if we bring our daughter, isn't it?
Oh, you might be out of luck there, folks. Jody doesn't usually allow youngsters in here.
I do not. But you're not exactly spoiled for choices of places to relax. Have a seat, folks. Just remember, children should be seen and not heard.
Grown-ups always say that. It's not fair.
It's a mite fairer than children should be outside, lashed to the hitchin post, and also not heard. Since that's the only alternative on the menu, I suggest you take what you can get.
But...
That's enough, Millie. You do what you're told.
Is there a place around here we can get a bed for the night?
I have rooms I can let you stay in. It'll cost you $1 a night.
We'll need two, please. One for the ladies and one for me.
Well, that would normally be $2, but since you didn't try to pretend you're married and share one, we'll call it 1.5. We have some stew left if you folks are hungry.
Please. And can we have some hot tea? It's been quite a chilly ride.
Well, as the man said, welcome to Sweet Ravine. I'll be out in a bit.
Sir, you appear to have taken quite an interest in me. Have I done something to offend you?
Just looking at an old acquaintance.
I'm afraid I don't recall you. No offense meant.
And none taken. I wouldn't expect you to remember me. The Atlanta?
You served on the Atlanta?
No, sir. On the Weehawken.
Oh, well, that's different then.
Caleb, what's going on?
Nothing to worry about, friend. Just something that happened in a different lifetime. You want to tell the story? Your side one?
If you like. Sam, one of the ships I spent time on during the war was a little monitor class called the Weehawken. We were blockading Wausau Sound outside of Savannah, and the South decided they didn't care for that idea. They sent the CSS Atlanta out into the Sound to chase us off or blow us up. But she ran aground. We moved into a position her gun ports couldn't reach. Within 15 minutes of firing the first shot, the captain of the Atlanta surrendered.
We cut off 7 shots that day. Every one of them missed.
A few months later, they finished repairing her, and the CSS Atlanta was rechristened the USS Atlanta. Even for a war, that always struck me as petty.
The petty was always a nice change of pace from the terrifying. But, like I say, that was a lifetime ago. I know you boys did your best, but I'd like to thank you for not killing me that day.
Only if you'll let me thank you for the same thing, Mr. O'Reilly.
I don't recall dropping my name.
Well, I was also in Kansas City back when you had that encounter with Swifty McAfee. You wouldn't remember me. I was just playing cards with him at the time.
Was he a friend of yours? I ask because sometimes people get a little touchy about former friends I happen to have had, encounters with.
Well, if he had been, the $60 I'd won from him in the game so far would have been the end of that.
Caleb, I get the feeling you're holding back some details.
Only the gory ones, Sam.
Oh, those are the best ones. Hey there. Wow, can't remember the last time we had so many strangers arrive on the same day. Nice to meet you. My name's...
There you are, you snake.
Well, that's a fine way to treat someone who's just saying hello.
Not you, you old codger. I'm talking to Tyrone O'Reilly.
Wait, I know that name. Why do I know that name?
Because he's a hired gunslinger.
I have been, but you'll notice I'm not slinging a gun at the moment. And also nobody's hired me. I'm not a hired gunslinger at the moment, no matter how you define the term.
How about I define you as a dead man?
Feller, it's a big world, so I don't know if this is really the worst place in the world for you to draw a gun on an unarmed man, but it's got to be in the top 10.
This man is a killer.
Under the right circumstances, so am I. So is the man with the derringer. Heck, even the old codger's been known to accidentally hit a target once in a blue moon.
I mean, I could try to miss at this range, but I don't really fancy my chances.
Believe me, if he's trying to miss, you're in a lot more danger. Now look, I'm sure if you came all this way to have it out with a professional gunfighter, you are not afraid of dying. But that just means I need to put you down right now before I wind up with 2 corpses on my floor. So, there will not be an additional warning. Put the gun away.
This ain't over, O'Reilly. You come outside, and we'll settle this.
No.
Did you not hear me? I'm calling you out.
I heard you fine, Roscoe. Even if I were interested in settling this with you, I handed in my pistol to the sheriff. If you wanted to kill an unarmed man, I can't stop you. But if you're waiting for me to draw iron against you, that's not going to happen. Call me yellow, call me whatever you feel like. The answer's no.
I want you to say that again, because I suspect when you hear the words a second time, you'll have a better understanding of how dumb you sound.
I want you to give him his gun back.
Why?
So he can fight me in a duel.
The professional gunman.
Yes.
The professional gunman who will definitely kill you in a duel.
You don't know that.
Uh-huh. This is the same professional gunman who has told you he does not accept your challenge, yes?
Well, there ain't two of them.
If there were two, I might be able to wrap my head around why you're asking me to give a man a gun to shoot you with. And it makes even less sense considering he already told you he's not going to use it.
Well, look, I'm not going to shoot an unarmed man.
That's good.
So I need you to give him his gun back.
Mr. Sawbridge, I think a review might be called for. When you shoot an unarmed man, that's either murder or attempted murder, depending on your aim. But the thing is, if you do the same thing to an armed man, it's still murder or attempted murder. To simplify, if a man isn't actively pointing a gun at you with intent to fire, you are not allowed to shoot him. If you're not clear on any of this, then I'm pretty sure we need to take your gun and lock it up somewhere.
You don't understand, Sheriff. He killed my cousin.
Well, you might have wanted to start this conversation with that little detail. If he's committed murder, I can go and arrest him. That solves all our problems, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, you see...
Your cousin was actively pointing a gun at him with intent to fire, wasn't he?
Maybe a bit.
Are going to happen now, Mr. Sawbridge. You're going to put your pistol on my desk so that you're not tempted to do anything rash for the remainder of your stay here in my town. You are then going to get out of my office before I have an attack of apoplexy.
Good morning. You're up early.
Yeah, I'm used to being the one cooking breakfast. I don't sleep in so well.
Well, you're paying guests, so I'll be doing the cooking. Biscuits and bacon this morning. But if you feel like someone to talk to, I don't mind the company. You want more tea this morning? The water will be hot in just a bit.
Please.
How's the little one?
Oh, Millie's fine.
I'm glad. But that wasn't my question.
You can tell.
I can. Not sure why you're keeping it a secret from a bunch of strangers who probably don't care one way or the other, but that's your business. Is your traveling companion...
No, he's not the father. The father is a dead man who's not worth shedding any tears over, even if I didn't always think so. Tyrone is a friend of Millie's father, and he died from a fever a long time ago.
That's why he's helping you now that you're on the run?
How do you know so much about me?
We get the occasional visitor who's here to stay in our fair town. The rest are either passing through or running away from something. I knew how to spot the difference by the time I was 13 years old.
I did something I shouldn't have done. Something a woman with a daughter and another on the way should have known better than to do. Maybe I deserve to be punished for it, but they don't. Tyrone was the first person I thought of to run to.
That might be telling you something, but go on.
He talked about Canada like it was this magic place where we could start over. Made it sound like a fairy tale. It sounded good. It sounded real good.
Less so now, though?
It It don't seem fair that I get my slate washed clean and he doesn't. Tyrone wants to put the gun down, but with Roscoe here, I don't know. Maybe that's just not something that can happen.
You two want to start things over together? Is that it?
That's what I want, sure. I think it's what Tyrone wants.
You think right, Molly.
Tyrone O'Reilly, you need to wear a lot of shoes.
Not sure that's the message to take away, but we do have a cobbler in town. For now, though, let me pour you folks some tea. And then, well, it so happens I know one more early riser in this town who might be able to help.
No.
You have to.
I'm not sure anything would, but I know for certain that argument isn't going to work.
You told me I can't have my gun back until I leave town, and I'm leaving. So I need my gun back. It's my property, and you have to give it to me.
You are planning to take this gun, ride north, and waylay Tyrone O'Reilly when he leaves town, aren't you?
No.
Darling, can I please play poker with this man?
Seems unkind to have him be both stupid and poor, doesn't it?
I'd be all right with it.
Give him back his gun, Alex. He's gonna need it in a minute.
Cora, what are you doing?
Well, this whippersnapper needs to have some sense shot into him. Or lead, whichever works.
I think I'm missing something.
That's bad news for you. Missing is the one thing you really don't want to do.
Calamity Canton, will you make something like sense for once in your life? You're calling this fella out.
She's what?
That's right. I'm calling him out to a right and legal duel. That's still allowed, ain't it?
And why, exactly? How is this any of your business?
Because I'm making it my business.
Well, I can't argue with that unassailable logic, but I'm gonna need a little more than that.
My husband and I came to this territory to get away from all the idiots who wanted a piece of our hides because of what he did in Canada. From the moment we settled down until he died, Beauregard never had to pick up a gun. They were the happiest years of his life, and I'm not letting some fool take that away from another man trying to do the same thing.
Mr. Sawbridge, will you accept this challenge?
Coward like him? Probably won't.
Don't call me a... Am I allowed to shoot this crazy old coot?
If you accept the duel, there will be no legal repercussions.
You will probably be dead, but there will be no legal problems.
Isn't that what I just said? Here's your iron. Go stand over there. Do I need to do the coin thing, or can I just yell draw?
I ain't picky.
Just call it, Sheriff.
All right. Draw!
Ow! Oh, ow!
Really? You fanned your pistol, Cora? That's just showing off, isn't it?
I'm an old lady. How often am I going to get to show off?
Well, this is not how I expected my morning to start.
Sorry, Doc. Couldn't be helped.
You have some time before the picnic. I'll help you get him to your office.
I appreciate it, Caleb. Could somebody get a message to Jesse in the meantime? I suspect I'll need a clean shirt before then.
Really pretty.
Oh, not a lot of people tell me that. Thank you. You sure you folks don't want to stick around? There's plenty of food at the picnic.
I don't think we can stay. Mama says we're going to a new life.
She does?
Yeah.
Well, I had to do that once. You know what I think?
What?
Ride hard. If I'd known what was waiting for me here, I'd have put any of those Pony Express boys to shame getting here.
It's a little scary, though.
Well, you're not wrong about that. But you know what you should do when you're afraid?
What?
Ride even harder, little missy.
Kitty, we're waiting for you.
I'm on my way. Excuse me, folks. I'm gonna go tell the whole town I get to be married to the sweetest boy in the whole wide world.
Most of the time, when we talk about learning from experience, we talk about the warnings. But we can also learn by example which path we want to take
It won't always lead us to the same happy destination, but like as not, it's going to make the journey a mite easier. And if not, well, there just might be a crazy old lady with a gun who's there to help, at least in the Wild West. You've been listening to Rawhide Law, episode 12, produced by Seat of Our Pants Players, written and directed by Dan Wenzel. Alex was Jill Wenzel. Jesse was Rebecca Scheimer. Kitty was Brianna Kuby. Caleb was Dan Wenzel. Silas was Aaron Mankiewicz. Jody was Liz Music. Sam was Rick Tennant. Tyrone was Andrew Dell. Molly was Dana Bonner Andreessen. Millie was Morgan Gastengee. Roscoe was Adam Gastengee. And Calamity Canton was Andy Gastengee. Cowboy Sting and Fig Leaf Times 2 by Kevin MacLeod at Incompetech.com. Licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. Other music and sound effects by www.freesfx.co.uk. Thanks for listening, partners. We'll see you next time.